diamonds in wooden pails. There have been no incidents here in Tongo since I took over security, Verdun said proudly. We believe the rebels have totally vacated the area, but we have placed mines and traps in the surrounding woods in case they return. Suddenly, an uncovered truck packed with men and women clad in tattered shorts and frayed shirts rolled down a service road cut from the surrounding forest. The truck parked at an angle off the steep grade, and a pair of soldiers armed with M16 assault rifles climbed down from the cab. The next shift of workers has arrived, Colonel Verdun told the government representatives clustered around him. Shifts are 8 hours long, from sunup to sunset. He checked his watch. This shift appears to be a little early, but... His voice tailed off as the soldiers herded the workers from the truck, prodding them with the barrels of their M16s. Near the back, several had collapsed from the heat, and the soldiers mounted the truck's bed to rouse them. Verdun cleared his throat uneasily, hoping to be saved the embarrassment of one or more of the workers being found dead. He actually breathed a sigh of relief when they stirred, brief because the motion was too sudden and abrupt. Verdun squinted into the sun and saw the dark gun barrels being hoisted from beneath the workers and tossed outward to be snatched out of the air by those workers who had already climbed down. Rebels! It was the RUF! The shooting began as Verdun struggled to shepherd the government representatives back up the hill to safety. Random and wild, punctuated by piercing screams as the rebels fired across the riverbanks, downing soldiers and workers indiscriminately. The prospecting workers tried to run from the river. The soldiers who could fled into the woods. Verdun drew his pistol, sidestepping up the hill, and fired on the rebels the moment they turned their attention upon him. A pair of the representatives went down screaming. Below, on the riverbank, some rebels whipped machetes from sheaths hidden by their shirts and set off after the workers struggling to flee. Blades whistled through the air. Blood leaped upward. The screams bubbled in Verdun's ears. He realized he couldn't swallow, realized his pistol's slide had locked empty and ejected the magazine in favor of a fresh one, only to remember his ceremonial gun belt didn't hold any extra clips. A wave of rebels surged up the hill, their raised machetes fragmenting the sunlight. Verdun was still trying to shove the last standing representatives over the hill when bloodied blades split the air around him. He sank to his knees and absurdly raised his hands to cover his head. Verdun felt a stinging pain, like ice poking into his flesh, and looked down to see his right arm laying on the dirt. He screamed and gazed up at the tall, lithe figure of a woman looming over him, the machete in her hand soaking the ground with fresh blood. "Dragon!" he uttered, recognizing her as the blade rose skyward and then chopped down toward him. "I spit on—" A flash exploded before Verdun's eyes before he could finish, dragging a sea of red behind it that swallowed the rest of his world. Day 1. The Present. Chapter 1. The ancient truck rumbled down the street toward the open warehouse. A bearded Palestinian wearing a keffiyeh rose from a chair set in the shade of an adjacent alleyway and stepped to the curb, watching as the truck's bald tire scraped to a halt atop the rubble-strewn street. None of the residents of the West Bank town of Beit Jala could remember the last time the roads had been cleaned, not since Israeli tanks had left them cracked and broken in a parade-like show of force months before, that was certain. The passenger side of the truck faced the warehouse, and a burly man with bulging, hairy forearms leaned out the window.
"Vasily Anatolyevich, at your service, comrade."
Anatolyevich extended